John chapter 20. John chapter 20 this morning at the sunrise service, we dealt with the dawn and the earthquake and the women at the tomb and the angel and the message of saying he's risen. Tonight we're going to go to the end of a long day. The disciples have been told now by the Marys that Christ has risen. Peter and John have gone to the tomb, and they have confirmed that it's empty and the stone's been rolled away. Throughout the day, disciples and others have seen Christ, and now the disciples are in the upper room and they don't know where to go next. And the issue is oftentimes we have uncertainty and anxiety and cares and problems in our lives, and that gives us a sense of angst. It gives us a sense that we just don't have peace. But Christ wants to bring us peace, and His resurrection can bring us peace. And so tonight my message is that the risen Christ brings peace. And we're going to be looking at John chapter 20, verses 19 through 29. And the text goes like this. It says, "Then the same day at evening." So we're talking about Easter evening. Resurrection Day evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut, where the disciples were assembled, were what? Fear of the Jews. Came Jesus and stood in the midst and said unto them, "Peace be unto you." And when he had so said, he showed unto them his hands and his side. Then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. Then said Jesus to them again, "Peace be unto you. As my Father hath sent me, even so send I you." That's a pretty clear commandment. And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said unto them, "Receive ye the Holy Ghost." That was an answer to a promise. He says, "I'm not going to leave you comfortless." He says, "I'll send the Comforter." Verse 23, "Whosoever sins ye remit, they are remitted unto them. And whosoever sins ye retain, they are retained." But, you know, there's a lot of buts in the Bible. There's a lot of buts in our lives that kind of changes things. But what? Thomas, one of the 12 called Didymus, was not with them when Jesus came. The other disciples therefore said unto him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said unto them, Except I see in his hand the prints of the nails, and put my finger into the prints of the nails, and thrust my hand into his side, I will," and look at this bold statement, "I will not believe." Oh, that's a dangerous thing to say when we're dealing with God's truth. Then said he to, and then after 8 days again, his disciples were within, and Thomas with them. Then came Jesus, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst, and said what? "Peace be unto you." Then said he to Thomas, you know, be called out by God. Wow. Okay. Then said he to Thomas, "Reach hither thy finger, and behold my hands. Reach hither thy hand, and thrust it in my side. And be not faithless, but believing." You know something? That should have shaken up Thomas a little bit. Because here's Christ saying the exact things he had said 8 days earlier. See, God hears. God remembers. God knows our inner state. And Thomas answered and said unto him, the only thing that you can say when you're in presence of God, "My Lord and my God." And I hope that Jesus is your Lord and God tonight. Jesus said unto him, "Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. Blessed are they that have not seen and yet have believed." See, Christ, when he appears in the room, he says peace. See, mankind has had a search for peace throughout its history. That search has continued since the very first sin. You know, there was peace. There was peace until Adam and Eve sinned. Everything was good. A relationship with God was there. And then in Genesis chapter 3, verse 15, after God puts His judgment on Satan, and God puts His judgment on Adam and Eve, He says, "I will put enmity between thee and the woman." There is no peace. There is no peace. Ephesians chapter 6 says, "We wrestle not with what? Flesh and blood, but against powers and principalities, spiritual wickedness in higher places." He says, "And between thy seed and her seed, it shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel." Another instance of what was going to happen to Christ and what He was going to do. He was going to crush Satan's head. So mankind's search for peace has continued since the very first sin. Secondly, here's a biblical truth. The wicked cannot find peace. Isaiah chapter 57, verse 21. We'll get there in a couple of weeks. But it says, "There is no peace, saith my God, to the wicked." There is no peace. If you do not know Jesus Christ as your Savior, John 3 says you have the wrath of God abiding on you. John, the Bible says that you do not have a relationship with God and you need one. And that you are wicked and you will die in your sins. You will not have peace. You could try to find it in money. You can try to find it in things of this earth, but it'll never work. Only God can give peace. Amen. We live in the last days. And we know that these last days will experience false peace. You know, that's all you hear. I find it interesting that all we hear is about having peace here, peace here, peace here. But when you turn on the TV, what do you get? There's riots and there's conflict and there's war. Man has a lot of mighty words to say, but he can't bring peace. Only God can bring peace. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 3, Paul is trying to correct the Thessalonican doctrine on this, on the end times. And he says, "And for when they say, they shall say, peace and safety." Oh my! Think about all this stuff with this COVID and this pandemic. All we have this problem and this problem. And we have all these smart people here. And if you do this, you'll avoid it. And you do this, you'll have peace and you'll have safety. It's all over the place, folks. It's just another sign that Christ is coming back, is near. It says, "For when they shall say, peace and safety, then what? Sudden destruction cometh upon them as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape." See, mankind's search for peace started from the Garden of Eden. It's continued through all history. And it's continued through its wickedness. The heart is deceitful above all things, and who can know it? It's desperately wicked. And we know that as Christ gets closer and closer to returning, till the trumpet starts sounding, we're going to see more and more of this. See, Jesus promises peace. And I'm so thankful for that. See, Isaiah's prophecy of Christ, He was the Prince of Peace. In Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6, it says, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon His shoulder." Folks, when you put government on man's shoulder, it will not fix things. You put government on God's shoulder, it will fix things because truth will be done. And so, the government shall be on His shoulder, and His name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace, and not used as a curse word. Amen. See, Jesus promises peace, and we see that in John chapter 14, verse 27. This is Christ speaking. This is before He goes to the cross. And He says, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you." You know why? Because the world can't bring peace. "Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." He's already said, "I'm going to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I'm coming back. I'm coming back for you." See, here is a secret. The risen Christ is the source of peace. Paul writes to the Romans in Romans chapter 15, verse 33. He says, "Now the God of peace be with you all. Amen." Folks, that should be our prayer for everybody. We pray for those for salvation. They need salvation so they can experience true peace, so they can experience true comfort, so they can experience true love, so they can experience true release. So the risen Christ is the source of peace. Well, there's three things I want to point out tonight in our passage. The first one is that we can have peace when we are afraid. Go back to this morning and the women are at the tomb and they had temporary fear because the angel said, "Fear ye what? Not." Every time that Christ meets with people or the angel meets, they say, "Fear not. Fear not." God doesn't want us to have fear. See, the disciples had fear. The Bible says so. It says where the disciples were assembled for what? For fear of the Jews. You know, it's okay to be afraid, but we need to cast our care on Jesus. See, the disciples were in hiding instead of heralding the resurrection of Christ. When Christ came on the scene in Bethlehem, the angel shouted out and the shepherds heard it all and they told what was going on. Folks, there were people that the Samaritan woman, she meets Christ and she gets saved and she goes and she tells the city and the whole city comes out. That's on the good side. But Jesus does a mighty work and he cast out demons out of pigs and all the pigs drowned. And they're more concerned about the pigs than the demons that were cast out. He said, "Get out of here!" Folks, we have a choice. We have a choice of hiding from God or a choice of doing and saying things for Him. Right. See, Christ is risen from the grave. He's alive. We need to understand that. The tomb's empty.
Amen.
The promise of resurrection has been fulfilled. Everything that Christ said He was going to do, He has done.
Amen.
An angel has rolled the stone away, showing God's power and revealing the empty tomb. All the disciples needed to hear that message. You need to hear that message. We need to hear that message. The world needs to hear that message. We can't be in hiding. We can't be in hiding. We need to have an earthquake, folks. A spiritual earthquake. Jesus appeared to the disciples when they were afraid. You know what? The doors being shut could not keep Jesus from those He loved. Think about that. There is nothing that man can build. There is nothing that man can put between you and God that will keep God from getting you. It won't work. It won't work. Matthew Henry said that no door can shut out Christ presence. So we see the disciples in the upper room and they're hiding instead of heralding the resurrection of Christ. They've seen it now for themselves. Peter and John have seen it and they're back and they're telling everybody. They've heard the reports and said all of a sudden Jesus appears. You know something? You need to always be ready for Jesus to appear in your life.
Amen.
And there's no way you can insulate yourself to keep that from happening. And you need to understand. See, when Jesus comes, He speaks peace to fearful hearts. In the Luke account, in Luke chapter 24, verse 38, he said unto them, "Why are ye troubled?" You know, what about the truth bothers us? Christ said He's going to do this. And He does what He says. Why should that trouble us? Why should Christ appearing in that room with the disciples bother them? Why should Christ appearing in this church bother you? Why should Christ appearing in your life bother you? It shouldn't. Why are you troubled? And why do thoughts arise in your hearts? Folks, it's time to get out of stinking thinking and just get into faith. So when Jesus comes, he speaks peace to fearful hearts. Faith in the crucified and risen Christ takes our fears away. Peter writes, he says, add to your faith. And then all these others, you do good diligence to do this. We need to pray for the spiritual growth of those that receive Christ. We need to pray for the spiritual growth of those in the church. You need to pray for your own spiritual. You need to enhance that. In 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 2, it says, grace and what? Peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. Oh, folks, we need to be around people that love God. We need to be around books that proclaim the truth. We need to be in the Bible. We need to understand and add to our faith all these things. So see, we can have peace when we are afraid. The women at the tomb found peace. The disciples in the room that was locked heard Christ say, peace be unto you. You know, sometimes we just don't have to be afraid of a situation. We just have some anxiousness in our life. And we can have peace when we are apprehensive. See, when Christ appears, they say, wait a second, we didn't hear a knock on the door. The door didn't open. Here's Jesus. All through the day, there's Jesus. And then he was taken away. You know why he could do that? He's God. He's God. And Jesus could do whatever he wants to do, as long as it's in accordance with the Word. So, the doubting disciples were now amazed. It said he showed them his hands and his side. See, the doubting disciples were now amazed that Christ is risen. These are the hands that had been nailed to the cross. This was the wound in his side that the soldiers used to confirm his death. And they saw all of it. We know that those marks are still there because prophecy says they'll look on him whom they pierced. And we will see those marks of what mankind did to God when we see Jesus. But you know something? The issue is you see Jesus and think of the disciples. What was this going to mean to them? Here they're confronted with Christ fulfilling something he said was going to happen for the last year. The cross was not an end. It was just a beginning. It was a fulfillment. And all those things they had said, now they have to deal with the truth. And folks, what we have to do is we just have to deal with the truth. And sometimes the truth is going to reveal to us that we're not who we think we are. And next question is, would they be up to the responsibilities that this would bring? See, because once Christ came in the room, he said, peace. But then he said, okay, it's me. And now I have a job for you. Remember the women? They saw the angel. They saw the empty tomb. I have a job for you. Christ says, it's finished. You know why? Because it has a job for each of us. Folks, the peace of God basically should mean to us that we can get busy for him and that we need to accept the responsibility for him. Jesus speaks peace to those that he's about to assign the task of world evangelism. They're going to talk to go about into all the world. It is time to get beyond our families. It is time to get beyond our church. See, he says in the text, he says, as the Father has sent me, so even so send I you. As we've been studying Isaiah, once Isaiah gets a picture of God and sees the presence of God, God asks this question, whom shall we send? Who will go for us? And Isaiah raises his hand and says, send me. Here am I, Lord, send me. Folks, we can't be hiding as Christians anymore. We need to be heralding the resurrection. We need to say, God, send me. Send someone my way. Well, I can't get out. Then have someone come to your door. Have someone pick up the phone and say, hey, you want an auto insurance warranty? Hey, do you know my Jesus? Or we want to buy your house. Well, you want heaven? There's all sorts of opportunities, people contacting us, and we can share the gospel with them. See, the issue is they would not go in their own strength, but in the power of the Holy Spirit. In verse 22, it says, and when he had said this, he breathed on them and said unto them, receive ye the Holy Ghost. See, oftentimes we say, well, I'm just not up to it. I just don't think. Remember Moses? Okay? Remember Moses? He said, who am I? I can't speak. I can't do this. Who's going to this? So they would not go in their own strength, but in the power of the Holy Spirit. Some days following, they're ready to watch him ascend. And he ascends from the Mount of Olives. And they're all there. And in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, it says, and ye, but ye shall what? Receive what? Power. How? After that the Holy Ghost is come upon you. Now, you don't need no second baptism of the Holy Ghost. You get all the Holy Ghost you need the day you get saved. Amen. He comes in, you're a temple of the Holy Ghost, and he sets up residence there. It's the amount of power that you allow him to work in your life. And that was what Paul was praying for the church at Ephesus in chapter 3. It says that you can know this. He said, but after ye shall receive power, after the Holy Ghost come upon, and ye shall be what? Witnesses, folks. The moment we get saved, we receive power. And what are we supposed to be doing? We're supposed to be witnesses unto him, both in Jerusalem and in Judea and in Samaria and to the uttermost parts of the earth. They're sitting there saying, wait a second, here's Jesus. Now, what that means to us, that means that all the things that Jesus has told them, they needed to do. They'd already been out. Went out two by two and were given a commission to do what? Heal the sick, cast out demons, do all this stuff. And they saw power, the power of God on them. And they knew what the power of God is. Why now, after he's resurrected, is there apprehension? There shouldn't be. See, we need to understand it's not our strength, but it's God's strength. He's going to give us everything that we need in order to do what he wants us to do. Verse in number 3, it says, we can be at peace about the power we need to witness for the risen Christ. You know, a lot of people say, well, I just don't know what to say. I just don't like Moses. Christ had already talked to them. He'd already said this. In Luke chapter 12, verses 11 and 12, he says this. And when they, and what? When? It says, you shall receive power. And when this happens. It's not an issue of if. It's an issue of when. Folks, we're all going to be in these instances. He says, and when they bring you unto the synagogues, and unto the magistrates, and powers, take ye no thought how or what thing ye shall answer, or what ye shall say. Don't worry about it. Just have faith. Walk in God's peace. For the Holy Ghost shall teach you in the same hour what ye ought to say. There is no excuse for not witnessing, folks. There's not. God's given you a mouth, you need to use it. God's given you eyes, you need to see opportunities. God's given you ears, you need to hear conversations and basically be ready to do it. God's given you all the power you need in order to do it. Why don't we do it? Because of our unbelief. Because of our lack of faith. So, we can have peace when we're afraid. We can have peace when we're apprehensive. And lastly, we can have peace when we feel alone. In the last day, Thomas with them. But see, the first time Christ came, he wasn't there. Here's a spiritual fact. If you're not where God is, you won't see him. We don't know where Thomas is. We're not going to throw Thomas on the bus. He may have a valid reason for not being there. But the issue is, he wasn't there. And because he wasn't there, he missed out on a blessing. Because he wasn't there, he missed out on an opportunity. See, he had missed the first meeting with Christ after his resurrection. He had doubted the words of the disciples. Now, here's an issue here. The disciples, Peter and John, took the word of the Marys and the women, and they went to the tomb based on that. Here someone has walked the walk with Christ, heard what Christ was doing, heard the other disciples saying, you know, we saw Jesus, we saw the nail prints, we saw the spirit. He told us, and he said this stuff about sending us and putting the Holy Ghost on us and doing all this other stuff. And Thomas is going, no. You know, and he gets the moniker of what? Doubting Thomas. Folks, when we speak truth, you need to receive it. And he goes on, he says, look, he says, unless I see it for myself, what will it take God to do in your life for you to believe him? We talked about this. What kind of judgment do you have to have in your life to turn your life around? We did that the other night, okay? Now Christ comes back. And with the believing ones, and the only doubter was now among them. See, God doesn't want any doubt, but he wants faith. God wants belief. God wants us to have love and devotion to him. As in the first time, closed doors could not keep Jesus away from the mission to talk about this. But I will give you a warning. And here's the warning. Only a closed heart and a closed mind keeps Jesus away. The Bible calls it being hardened. It says, don't let your heart be hardened. So the issue is, God can penetrate anything that man makes, but he can't penetrate a heart that won't listen, a mind that won't be obedient. And so that's... So Thomas now sees... Jesus brings proof here. But in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 25, it says, see ye that refuse not him that speaketh. For if they escaped not who refused him that spake on earth, much more shall we not escape, shall not we escape if we turn away from him that speaketh from heaven. Oh, folks, we need to open our minds and open our ears. All the way through Christ's ministry. Having ears, they what? Hear not. Having eyes, they see not. That can't be in your life. That cannot be in your life. So Thomas must have felt alone among the believers. Because when Christ comes a second time, he calls him out by name. He knew what was going on here. And he was isolated. Closed doors couldn't keep Jesus from dispelling the doubts of Thomas. Jesus brings proof and peace to the disciple who felt alone. See, God wants you to believe in him. God wants you to believe in Christ and his Son. God wants you. He has no pleasure in the death of the wicked. He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And God will move heaven and earth to get you into position to believe. But if you keep on resisting, Romans 1 says he'll turn you over to reprobate mind. To do those things which are not convenient. In Acts chapter 1 verse 3, Luke writes, he says, to whom also he showed himself alive after his passion. This is Passion Week. By many what? Infallible proofs. Being seen of them 40 days and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. See, Thomas had a problem. And Christ got right down to the root of it. He said it was faithfulness. He says, your faithfulness did this. Your lack of faith did this. Your lack of belief did this. Faithfulness had brought the doubt. And folks, I guarantee you, when you don't think that God can do something in your life, that's where it starts. Right there. I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. There is nothing impossible with him. In Hebrews chapter 10, verse 23, let us hold fast the profession of our faith. Without what? Wavering. James says that a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. He says when you ask God, don't ask doubting, and you won't get it. It is time to have faith. It is time to get rid of the doubt. It's time to let God take care of our fear. It's time to let God take care of our apprehension. So as I close tonight, question. Are you enslaved by fear? Trust Christ and have peace. Question. Are you apprehensive about serving? Trust Christ and have peace. Do you feel alone? Do you feel isolated? You feel like no one cares? Trust Christ and never feel alone again. He says, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. And in God, all the promises in him are yea. And what God says, he'll bring it to pass. Oh, folks, do you know the peace of God? The peace of God that what? Passeth understanding. Can't explain it. Only God can give it. Do you have it? Let's stand. Heavenly Father, Lord, we just thank you for this time. Lord, I just ask you for this time of invitation. Father, just search our hearts, Lord, and help us, Lord, to find true peace tonight. We give you this time of invitation. We ask these things in your Son's name. Amen.